New West Group is a nationally recognized healthcare staffing agency with over 30 years of experience connecting clinicians to leading health systems. In 2023, they were honored as the top travel nurse agency by nurse.org. But New West is more than just travel staffing. They excel in placing local, temp-to-hire, and direct talent as well. Discover their full-service concierge approach at newwestgroup.com.
Hey, nomads, welcome to another episode of Travel Nursing and Allied Life. I am one of the hosts, Dylan Callier. You might recognize me from the New Medical Nomads podcast. And today, talking about a question of how early can I commit to a travel contract? There are changes going on in the market right now for certain professions. And so I thought this was a timely question. And as someone who's taken contracts fairly early as 4 months out from a contract, I did want to talk about this. Ultimately, for this question, you can take a contract as early as you'd like. There's no rules stating otherwise. There's no rules saying, you know, there's a certain timeline that you have to, or we can't have you sign until X amount of time before the start date. There's no rules for that. But it is worth knowing that there is more risk when you take a contract further out. So the normal amount of time to sign on for a contract will vary between each profession. For therapists, it's usually around 4 to 6 weeks. For professions that move quicker, like radiology, it might be 3 weeks. And nursing tends to be quicker as well, 3 to 4 weeks, I believe. So the normals are different for each profession. And then as you extend that beyond that time, it can increase your risk for a couple of things. Mostly the big takeaway is the further out you sign for a contract, the more likely something can happen within that time to where the contract gets canceled before you show up. So that's really important to know. So in those rare occasions where there are some, say, states that start planning really far ahead for travelers, this would be something like Alaska, especially during the winter months where they have a hard time getting clinicians into the state, you'll find contracts that are trying to sign up well in advance. That was my specific case for the 3 to 4 month sign on for an Alaskan contract. Harder to get areas. So for therapy, you might see this happen for like states like Colorado and Utah, typically states that are a little bit more active that therapists just kind of naturally go to. Those you can see contracts pop up early and then get snagged early on and committed to by travelers. So those states might be something as well that would be something you would commit to early on or an option. For nurses, for radiology, these would be high destination places, thinking like Hawaii, Alaska, kind of just for all professions. You can sign on early for those. And as you commit early on, say that you're in a tough market for like nurses right now, you'll start to see the sign-on time increase because nurses are a little bit more, it's a little more competitive. So nurses are willing to sign on sooner in order to guarantee that contract, guaranteeing quotes, because we're going to talk about that. So just know if you sign on further than the normal time, that gives more time for that client or that hospital or that outpatient clinic to find a permanent person. So once you sign on so far in advance, they no longer have to worry about trying to get someone into the position. Now they're able to take all their resources and focus that on finding somebody for a permanent position. So a typical employee, not a traveler. And this will depend on how fast their orientation is. So if we're talking about a hospital, most orientations are around 30 days, a full month. Within that amount of time, you're probably pretty safe because they're not going to have somebody onboarding to start taking care of those patients before that amount of time. Talking about outpatient clinics, especially for therapists, could be as quick as a week. There's a little bit more risk involved with those. So the big important takeaway is the further out that you sign on for a contract, the more risk that it will actually get canceled before you get there. Two big important questions to help you navigate and mitigate this risk. One, and they'll both be for the staffing agency. So one, when does your guarantee notice start? When does your 30-day guarantee start? When does your two-week notice start? Most companies don't have a rule or a contract negotiation with that facility to where there's a guaranteed notice before this actual start date. So say you start on February 2nd. If they cancel you on February 1st, the notice is null. There's no penalty involved for that facility, and you're just kind of out of luck. If you read into it, there are some companies out there that the notice doesn't start sometimes even until the first few hours of the job. The first couple days to cover for orientation, those types of things. So it's really important for you to know when does that 30-day or that two-week notice actually start. If you do find one that includes before you show up for that contract, excellent. That's a really good sign. However, most likely you're not going to, and so you want to know when that first day starts for that 30-day notice or for that two-week notice, and that will kind of let you know when you don't have to worry about it anymore. It'll kind of give you a timeline to work towards when prepping for that contract. And then the final big question would be to ask the staffing agency, will your company compensate me if they were to cancel before my arrival? These are the things you're curious about. Are they going to reimburse you for your license or any costs related to getting license or compact privilege in that state? Are they going to help you out, say, if you did travel and they canceled you the day before? Are they going to help cover those travel expenses? And then the most important one is if you committed to housing, especially nothing egregious, not a 3-month thing. You're doing a 30-day by 30-day normal housing. Are they going to cover that cost for that month that you signed on and then showed up and then was canceled on? I've been canceled on a few times for committing to a contract that's well far out. For me, traveling, I've always been a destination traveler, so I'm usually going to places that are higher, with higher competition. And so it's not uncommon if I sign on early that they do end up finding a permanent employee to step in, or not common, but more common than others. So when thinking about signing on that early, I would drag my feet, so to speak, when it came to things like licensure and when it came to things like housing. Licensure, sometimes that's usually the one you get stuck with if you do get stuck with and you get canceled early if you're going there for a specific job. Otherwise, especially for destination travelers, you're kind of already set that you're going to go to that state. And so that one's not as big of a hit to take per se. And sometimes those licensures take, you know, up to 6 months. And so you've already well paid in advance for that one. And if you do get stuck holding that bag, that one's really not too bad. And then in states where it's really expensive, I'm thinking like California, typically for all professions, tends to be an expensive licensure that takes some time. Usually there's other jobs in that state that you can get signed on real fast. And the big thing that I drag my feet on is housing. So in the example of the 3 to 4 months in advance when I signed on for Alaska, I didn't really start looking for housing until that usual 4 to 6 week mark. Would I have saved some money had I signed on early? Yes. But if I would have been canceled, there would have been a lot of cost associated with that. So the housing fees, I was shipping my car in, I was flying there to meet my car with all my stuff. There would have been a lot of costs had it been canceled early before then. And typically, when you get canceled, it's not the day before. That's like worst case scenario. Typically, when you get canceled, it's a month out, more than a month, for that type of example. So it's hardly ever a really short notice. But if you happen to have some wiggle room with housing or licensure, it can kind of push that into that time zone that if they were to cancel, that you're okay. You don't have those costs associated either for you or for the company. With companies, you want to ask them, are they going to cover that cost? And you want it in writing. Sometimes you're able to get it put in directly into the contract. Sometimes they cover it in emails. Now, that being said, if you have zero costs and you're canceled, that's going to be much easier to deal with than if you have over $3,000 worth of housing expenses and travel reimbursement that you're trying to work out with your recruiter and your company. The one where I was stuck holding the bag, per se, was actually during COVID. So during COVID, there was a big decrease in therapies, therapy contracts, travel therapy contracts, specifically for physical therapists. I think we were normally around like 400, 500, and then we dropped down to 6 total per day in the U.S. It was very much slim pickings. PTAs, COTAs, OTs that typically have lower numbers anyways, they were non-existent. And the reason for that was the hospitals, when they needed extra help, they were pulling in from the local outpatient clinics to keep their employment on. So it really helped out everybody. It was a good situation, except for travel therapists. So when you had a contract come on, you just signed on immediately, basically. This one was a North Dakota contract, and I think I signed on 6 weeks in advance. It might have been 8, and I wanted to start that Monday, but I could have drove, I could have made it, you know, I had a week to get there, but they were like, no, you know, we have somebody until this date. And I did drag my feet. I actually specifically for that one, because I'd been seeing others getting canceled on, I was going to use an extended stay hotel. And once I was there, once I hit that date where I didn't have to worry about them canceling on me, for that contract, it was the very first day that I started working. I was going to stay in a hotel until, you know, probably for that first week, and then find another housing option while I was there. And it's a little bit easier to go to places in person, check things out, than it is when you're trying to do it online. And for that one, I was working with one of the bigger companies, and they canceled on me, I think, within 2 weeks. So really close to the date. And immediately the recruiter was like, hey, like, so sorry, like, you've been canceled. How, you know, making sure that I didn't purchase anything. And the only thing that I didn't travel there, I didn't start renting out any rooms. The only thing I asked for was getting my licensure reimbursed, and it wasn't reimbursed. I was left holding that North Dakota license, which I still haven't used today. I think I let it expire a few years ago. But that is an example of trying to mitigate the risk and dragging your feet, and using that option of a hotel during your first week in order to find housing or to delay committing to a high ticket housing option before your arrival. Last thing is, if you have a large nest egg, you have a large savings, that's going to take stress off of you from having to commit to something that's so far out. We talked about the option for travelers that are destination travelers, and so they're willing to take that risk to sign on well in advance in order to get this dream location. But for the clinicians that are in more competitive fields, like physical therapist assistants, occupational therapy assistants, if you find yourself with limited resources and needing a job, that's a recipe for disaster, because you're willing to sign on to more risky things in hopes that it works out, and it doesn't always work out. So if you can have a sizable nest egg that you are comfortable, you can wait out, and when you have a contract that's just too risky, you can say no to that and wait for the next one. So that will greatly help you mitigate that risk to where you're not needing to take something right now, and you can push off a few more weeks or a month or whatever it might be. Have yourself a little staycation at home, a fun employment while you're waiting for that next contract that pops up that isn't too much risk on you, the traveler. So those would be the big things. Big takeaway: if you do sign on for a contract in advance, just know there's more risk than the typical 3 to 6 week sign on for a contract, because they might cancel if they find a permanent person before you get there. And then the two big questions are, one, when does that guarantee start of the 2 week notice or the 30 day notice for when they might cancel the contract? And then also, is the company going to compensate you if they do cancel before your arrival for any expenses that you did encounter for that specific job? Remember, your contract is with the staffing agency, not with the facility that you're going to work for. So that staffing agency, yes, we are free will employees, but at the same time, there is a contract there, and an agreement, correctly. And both parties are expected to hold up that agreement. So that is it for the question of how early can I commit to a travel contract. I'm hoping to do more specific questions like these in the future, but I hope that makes your travel journey a little bit more knowledgeable, a little bit more safe, in recognizing that risk and benefit kind of leverage that we have as travelers. We get an amazing lifestyle, we get really cool places to go to, but along with that, there are risks that come with this travel lifestyle. And that's kind of the ticket to dance, to say the things that we have to accept in order to live the lifestyle that we live. So thank you so much. We'll catch you on the next episode, and everybody have safe travels.